If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Listen, listen, watch, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Richer on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
.95 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, Adam Jones in for Fred. And every time this comes on, Wallach's New Jack juices just start.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Love Eric B. and Rakim.
Okay, that's the most overused beat in all of hip-hop, correct? It has a name. Because it's not just hip-hop it's been used in. Like that is Baby Don't Forget My Number by Milli Vanilli. That is Come
Dawn?
Undone by Duran Duran.
That
is
Dawn?
PM Dawn, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss of You. It's got a name, but it might have been used in,
remember,
100
Mars?
Hits.
Mars, right?
Oh, well, Mars was Pump Up the Volume, right?
Yeah.
But that is When You Come Undone.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
See, I thought we were going to go into Mars a second right there.
So did I.
Can you get 19? In Vietnam.
Paul Hardcastle?
It was 19. Oh, yes. You knew the name?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to do that. I might need to do your New Jack knowledge a little bit later on the show, because there's nothing I'm more fascinated by than Super Dork John Wallach over here, Captain Stats. The guy was obsessed with 1990s hip hop.
I'm not all there today. This might be the day to quiz me.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that was when we learned that, and it was. Oh, yeah. Vietnam. It was 19. Vietnam. Yeah,
Paul Hardcastle.
It was a dance song about Vietnam.
Yeah.
In Vietnam, it was 19. I learned all the history I needed to know about the Vietnam War from Paul Hardcastle.
Yes, where all my knowledge comes from.
In Vietnam, it was 19. Yeah, I mean, that is right. That's a Shalimar beat. That's DeBars. In Vietnam, it was 19. But you went to, you were Mr. New Jack. Like, you went to all the concerts and stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I actually saw, what did I say? I saw Albie Shore and Bobby Brown together. I saw Midnight Star, Kool and the Gang, Shalimar. That was all on a single bill. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Did you go to the Belle Biv DeVoe and Bobby Brown show that was in town?
No, I know it was in town.
That's like returning the ring to Mordor.
Real
how did you just not, like,
way,
show
man.
Up and be like, Wallach's happy place?
I know, I had a damn swim meet or something to go to that night.
You are pig, that is slop. Oh, yep. There you go, John.
And this would be Levert.
How did you not go to that show? Because
Levert was on that Bobby Brown Albie Shore bill.
Oh, really?
Yes, Levert was right in between them.
He did that song over and over?
No, it's a group. It's not one guy.
He did that song.
Levert is the family.
He played the same song over and over again.
Levert is the family.
It's Spanish.
Led by Gerald Levert.
Levert.
L-E-V-E-R-T.
Okay, but it's just a fat guy, right?
No, it's a whole family.
I'm getting all those guys mixed up. Albie Shore is kind of a fat guy, right?
No, Albie Shore is not a fat guy.
Is he like a muscular
guy?
That's
Heavy D and the Boys. Heavy D is a fat guy.
I know Heavy D and the Boys. Okay. They got their own thing.
Yeah. Right.
Was that their hit?
Yes, that's right. Okay. That's one of them. There are a couple. He had a few.
Like Heavy
that's
D.
That's one of them.
Heavy D had more than one hit?
Yes.
Oh, now that we found
that's
love,
one.
That's
and
the
then,
big
and
hit.
Then there's another one, Got Nothing But Love For You, Baby. You don't remember that one?
No. I have no idea.
But I'm sure you can find it.
All I know is every single time that I say that, like, you are the master when it comes to this, you don't know how many people just at this station, like, contact me and say, dude, let me take him on. Let me take him on.
Really?
Yeah. We had Lanny come in here, Billy Lanny from Felger and Maz, and he went head-to-head with John Wallach, and Wallach smoked him.
Really?
Actually, no. No, it was a listener.
The listener beat all of us.
Yeah.
But Lanny failed miserably.
He did. He was an embarrassment, and he should have been punished.
He came in here, was like, I'm ready, and then the lights came on. No, but it was great. He came on and said, I'm ready, I'm going to take it. And he had his baseball cap on backwards. He was ready to go.
Sure.
Showed up, the lights came on, and Billy froze.
He straight up wasted our time. It's like, Lanny, what are you doing? And by the way, Lanny's the best, and he's also someone that, like, you know, he's doing radio long enough that I didn't think he, you know, when the lights came on.
He froze. I think given a second chance, he'd do a lot better.
Well, I'd like to see that. I think there should be a rematch at some point. if he's worthy of it. I don't even think he's worthy of a rematch.
Yeah.
Just every single time.
What era is this exactly?
Okay.
Like how would you define it?
90 to 95 in there. There was a specific New Jack Swing beat.
My knowledge of
Teddy Riley took over the world for about 4 years.
Okay, here's the reason that I know a decent amount about that is because I held two jobs where I was surrounded by it. First, I worked at Subway. And we always played the top 40 station, and we heard, like, If I Had No Loot by what?
Tony Tone.
Oh, Tony Tone, all that garbage stuff, and la-da-dee,
right.
Like, just all that.
I still, that was one that stumped me on the quiz. I still don't remember that one.
She's Homeless.
Yeah, She's Homeless, yeah.
See, I mean, there was some garbage that came out at that time. However, you know, some of the stuff was okay. And then I worked at a music store. And I worked at a music store in a fairly urban part of town where hip-hop and R&B was our biggest sellers.
Yeah.
It was like
what
70...
Were you just selling CDs?
Yeah. It was at the time when CDs were big.
Right,
it was a CD store. And I was in like high school, college. And they would come in and it would either be like 70% like hip-hop and rap. And I had to learn all of that. Like when I first worked there, I was like, we got the new Tupac CDs. And like I was mispronouncing everybody's name. I thought
I don't know if you've heard this new Tupac, but you should.
Oh,
get
I mean, it. I was like people would come in and say, hey, you know what albums are good? You know, and they would want like a rap album. I'd go Beastie Boys. they kind of kick ass. Like, I've got a helmet and Alice in Chains album if you want that.
Of course.
Then it was like maybe 20% country, and I mean the album at the time that was the big one was called Common Thread, the Songs of the Eagles, and it was diarrhea. It was all these like country artists doing like awful
Eagles songs.
Like, do I need to hear Desperado done by anyone ever? And it was just like, geez, let's just slog through this. The Eagles suck anyway. And you had to play something on the speakers. And I'd piss everyone off because I'd play Alice in Chains' Dirt on loop just over and over again. Like, all right, well, you don't want to hear that. Okay, well, let's move on to Soundgarden Super Unknown.
Customers are just shaking their heads.
Like, yeah. What is this? It's
the worst store ever.
Oh, yeah. But every once in a while, we had a radio edit version of Bone Thugs and Harmony. Now, that was a band I could get behind. Like, they were good. And Fred and I have had many disagreements, but, like, I mean, the way that they were singing...
He doesn't like them.
No. He thinks that, like, I still think they're somewhat New Jack, because they sing.
Oh, I see. Where they fit in.
Yeah, like, I mean, they would sing, but things that would usually be rap lyrics. Like, they were kind of hard lyrics, but they would always sing like this.
Yep.
Da, 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 da.
Yep.
And I thought that was just... It was mind-blowing to me. It was revolutionary. I don't think really anyone was doing that at the time, were they?
No.
Aren't they kind of looked at the... Once again, this is the dude who grew up on metal and stuff like
right.
that.
Yeah.
But that, I always love that. So I got to, now, all right, we need to test you again. We need to take things next level, all right?
Next level?
Next level.
All right.
Unfortunately, because every time we do this, we have people from the station. For some reason, everyone who's worked at the station thinks they're a New Jack
expert. There are plenty of people that are as good as me, if not more. And for some reason, they haven't come in. There are salespeople out there. As soon as we finished the contest, I think it was JT who came in and like accosted me in the hall and said, dude, how did you not know those four things?
Oh, God. Do you remember when we were talking about Bone Thugs and Harmony and we got a call from their manager who just like happened to be like driving through town?
Yes.
He's like, yeah, they're playing at like the 7-Eleven.
They were going through Lynn or something. I remember that.
It was the put about a business store.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, we'll take like $20,000 to play one night. And the club goes, and like eight people show up and they're like, all right, well, what do we do? So, yeah, I mean, that was great. We were talking about, like, do you want to have the guys from Bone Thugs and Harmony? And, like, they're never going to come in. Never. Like, 7 in the morning, do you think we're going to get Busy Bone to wake up out of his bed at the Holiday Inn in Everett to come in and do the show? No, it's not going to happen. And it didn't happen, of course. But I got my hopes up. I wanted to surprise you.
Were you, like, waiting all morning?
No. They were throughout the week, we were supposed to get a call from them. And the guy was very nice. I mean, he was, like, super nice. And he sincerely tried to get them to come in. But the surprise
All week sounds like some effort. So this was, like, the morning of. It was like, hey, it's 9 o'clock. We'll see if we can get him in the
I
next
remember
hour.
The day of the quiz, you got me on two of those songs. I whiffed completely.
We talked about it on a Monday.
Yeah.
And they were going to be here on Friday night. At some club I'd never heard of.
I'd imagine Friday night's a big night for them. Yeah,
I mean, you would think so.
Yeah.
And so we continue to try to get those guys on. And I don't know if you know this, John Wallach. I was working behind the scenes to try to get at least one of the members of Belle Biv DeVoe.
No way. No way.
And what I was going to do is I was going to have them come into studio and not say who they were. And just sit down next to you.
Oh, I would have nailed that. That would have been easy.
Other than Bobby Brown, you would have instantly known.
Yeah, Ricky Bell, and there's Michael Bivens, and I think it's Ronnie DeVoe.
Yeah, because it's not Ralph.
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky,
is it Trayvon
and Mike?
Or
yeah.
Trezvant, or how do you pronounce it?
Ralph Trezvant.
Okay. Well, yeah. he wasn't with them, I don't think, with the tour.
No, he went solo.
Okay.
There was him. There was Johnny Gill. He and Johnny Gill both went solo. Ralph Trezvant had this great song called Sensitivity. You don't remember that one?
Sensitivity. No.
Yes.
No.
I don't. No.
Yeah, Sensitivity. And Johnny Gill was Rub You the Right Way. You don't remember that either.
See, that was an okay song. Yeah. Rub You the Right Way was an okay song. I'll give you that.
Wrap Your Body Tight was another Johnny Gill song.
When did
Feel free to join in anytime you want, Jones.
I said this is not my forte.
And then there was Belle Biv DeVoe. They did a couple of songs as well.
When did Ginuwine do Pony? Is that not in that era?
No, that's right in there.
No, okay, that's later, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I thought that was right in there.
See, that song's all right.
Yeah.
That's
a great song.
I got no problem with Pony. That's a good one. All right, maybe we'll test you a little bit later on. if there's a worthy opponent from the station, we might have to hook them up as well to be able to challenge you. But we shall.
Yeah, there are plenty of people that are very good that I'm sure want to step in.
All right. Well, no commercials. John Wallach.
Commercials.
No, we have to talk to John Wallach about something too. I know, which is completely off the rails. I had something completely different scheduled for this break, but I just started going, once you came in with that freaking pump up the volume dance, yeah. I just imagine John Wallach in his, like, open shirt with only one button at the bottom, the flowing white pirate shirt.
So what you're saying, Rich, is there's no more funk beats for the rest of the morning.
Completely off the rails. No funk, just all new jack. So we'll get to that in just a moment.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Not new jack, but fun. Still. Equally acceptable and enjoyable this morning. 98.5 Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones is in studio. And real quick, because this is kind of a big deal. I mean, I'm looking, and it's on every screen that I see here. What's going on with this accident, John?
Massive accident, 95 North between exits 5 and 6. That's just south of 495. The road's been closed for half hour, 45 minutes. You're getting diverted off of 95 and then back on to 495 where you can pick up 95 North again. Apparently the traffic is a nightmare. So avoid the area at all costs. Don't know about fatalities. Just know that there are a lot of cars involved. And it being rush hour, I mean, thank goodness it's a vacation week, but traffic apparently still real bad.
Okay, so I talked about this the other day, and we were getting to our car, and I was getting the stuff off the roof, and we pulled in. We pulled up on the highway behind this car that had maybe like a foot and a half of just caked snow, not only on the roof, but on the rear window. So, I mean, I don't know how that person could possibly see and drive on the highway, especially not even be able to see behind them, much less the stuff that's piled on top of it. And I was like, I mean, if you do that, you know, it's not that you're just forgetful.
You are a dick.
I mean, you have to do that because, I mean, you immediately say, well, I can't be behind this person. Wait, because at any moment it's going to come down and it's going to smash into
me. You said the debate with your wife was, is this person just stupid? And you said, no, they're not dumb. They're just an a-hole.
They have, you know.
You have dick tendencies.
Correct. Right. You're being an a-hole. You're not dumb. You're being an a-hole at that point.
It actually happened to me yesterday, and it infuriated me.
Oh, sure.
On the way home, because it was someone with an SUV. It wasn't like a big truck. I don't know how the trucks, the 18-wheelers, clear it off the top. But this just, because the ice and the snow had a little bit of crust on the top of it, it came off in a square piece, about as big as a computer screen. And the first thing I did was I flinched in the car. I'm like, yeah, that's going to work. And then I kind of swerved a little bit and then put on my brakes and then thinking, well, the person behind me could hit me. The person in front of me was completely oblivious to it and had no idea. And when I drove up next, you know, beside them, I, of course, wanted to scream and yell. But what do you do?
Well, I know a guy who got in a road rage incident.
That's exactly
that.
It could turn into one of those road rage. Because that person is completely oblivious as I pulled up next to him. They had no idea that the snow was flying off the back of their SUV.
A friend of mine was behind a car like that, and the stuff came off, and it caused them to swerve. And it's one of those things where, you know, if there's a car in the left or right lane, I mean, for a second, you kind of see your life behind your eyes or in front of you. And if that's ever happened to you, there's something that goes through your blood where irrational thought is just out the window, and you start to see red. And my friend said that he followed this guy off of an exit.
Really?
Like, he pulled up beside him and started screaming at him. And I guess the guy looked at him and, like, you know, gave him somewhat of a face. So the dude got so pissed, he followed him off
the exit.
Wait,
like a face, like, F off kind of face?
Like a roll in their eyes.
This is when they're still on the highway. Got it. Not the exit.
No, he pulls up beside him and, like, starts screaming at the guy. And the guy just kind of rolls his eyes. And there was an exit coming up. And the guy who was in front, who had the snow on his car, got off the exit. And my friend said, and then I found myself following him off the exit. And we hit a stoplight. And I say to myself, what the hell am I doing?
Where's this going?
Yeah. Like, why am I doing this? And he said, but just, I was on autopilot for maybe 45 seconds. I just saw red. I saw rage because this guy was such a dumbass and didn't take this snow off the top of his roof. I almost got an accident. Well, then there was a story that came out yesterday. Did you see this? So there's a police car the headline is car damaged by ice missile in Spencer's. Oh. They said Spencer police are reminding motorists to remove ice and snow from their cars after an ice missile damaged a driver's windshield on Thursday. The department shared a photo of the damaged windshield on Twitter, which was allegedly caused by ice flying off a car driving in the opposite direction on Route 49. There were no reported injuries. Now, so you take a look at the front windshield and the picture that they tweeted out there. I mean, it immediately I thought of Christmas Vacation. You know, why is everything wet, Todd? I don't know, Margo.
I don't know,
just
Margo.
Just like coming out and slicing out there. And I mean, have you ever had that kind of road rage before where you just, for a second, you lose track of space and time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Happened
when
yesterday.
You're pissed, I'm not followed anyone, but yeah.
Happened yesterday for me.
It happened yesterday to you?
No, I mean, nothing. You asked me if I had had road rage and had lost track of time. That happened yesterday. For me, I'm following this woman. I was driving down to Bryant to do a game, and I was telling Jones this, and I got stuck behind a woman who was doing 31 miles an hour in a 35 for the better part of 10 or 15 miles.
Hang on.
She had no idea.
Angry nerd.
Right.
Yeah. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm sitting there and I'm screaming my lungs out in the car. It was the worst. I completely lost track of where I was and where I was driving to. I just knew that there was no way I could get around this woman. It was the worst.
Lady,
I got a Bryant game to get to.
Damn right.
All right.
Damn right I did.
The Bulldogs tip at 7.
That's right.
Move it or lose it.
I was a little late. And damn right I was.
That's being angry. I mean, everyone gets angry. I'm talking, like, have you ever
had to just someone off a road and
like,
done that?
Gotten
no.
to the point where
crazy.
you said, what have I done? Like, where you've gone to a level and you've been like, I mean, I'm going to fight this guy.
I've never been there.
Is there anyone who's ever got to a level of road rage where you had to finally say to yourself, like where you had an actual confrontation outside of your car? 617-779-0985.
No.
Because this apparently happens
there.
The time.
Oh, we're going to get phone calls. I thought you were asking me directly. We're going to get phone calls on it, yeah.
Because, I mean, as I said, I've talked to some people who have done that. Now, there was one time where I was behind a car that was moving a mattress, and the mattress flew off on the highway, and like three people spun around it. And this could have been an epic, like, middle-of-the-road disaster. It could have been a 20-car pileup.
Where was it?
This was in Texas. I was in Dallas at the time. And you could tell it was flimsy. It was one of those things where the guy put a mattress on the front of his truck.
It's like kind of flopping up a little bit. You can kind of see it starting.
So how dumb is this? He couldn't even put it. Okay, so the guy was driving a truck. He didn't even put it in the bed of his truck. He put it on the top where the cab is and had one lone bungee cord around it. It slipped out.
Was he holding on? That's always a good one.
Oh, with a hand? No, yeah. No. It actually slipped out of the back and started flipping around. Now, I was several lanes over to the right when it happened, but I could see in my rear view as I passed it, there were cars dodging
it. Around, yeah.
And by the time that everyone was able to dodge it, it still was sitting there in the middle of the road. So I don't know what happened after that, whether there were, you know, it was a pileup or anything like that. But I mean, That makes you see red, and I didn't follow the guy off because my wife was sitting there next to me, and she goes, "Rich, everyone in Texas has a gun." So whatever you do, don't give this guy any lip. All right, let's go to Neil. Neil, line one. What's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey.
I used to deliver pizza, and this woman was driving so slow in front of me, and I was riding right up on her tail there, and she stopped short because she was so angry at me. And I got out of my car ready to just, like, punch this person in the face. And it was, like, a childhood friend of my mother. And we just looked at each other like, oh, my God, what have we done?
That mom fight.
That's
now you're talking.
No.
Bust out the camera. You're going to go viral on that one. World star. You get a real mom fight going.
World star.
You get a mom fight going, and then we're talking. All right, let's go to Craig. Craig on line three. What's up, Craig? You're on Toucher and Rich. By the way, I do not advocate any of this. I just want to know, has anyone ever carried it through to where you were out of the car face-to-face with the person? Craig, what's up, man?
Yeah, I was driving home from work late at night, tired. This car with, like, three young, like, teenage punks comes flying up on my butt, tailgating me, high-beaming me just for hoots and giggles, then flies past me on the wrong side of the road, giving me the bird. I got so pissed off. I followed them, you know. It separated into two lanes. They're kind of like jockeying for position with me. Actually bumped into my car, and we came to a stop. Actually, yeah, side by side, and they actually moved out of the lane and hit my car. And we came to a stop. I jumped out and screamed, "I have you now, mother effers." and the look of terror on their face was something to see, and they took off, and I was running it down the road trying to chase after them.
Oh my God. Oh, you see, every time I hear these stories, I think people got guns in their cars. Like, it's like, I mean, you could get shot. And in some states, like, believe it or not, the law's on your side if you shoot somebody, even if they're outside of their car.
Wasn't there something that happened in Jones? Back me up on this. It was a while ago in Attleboro. There was a road rage incident where the guy had, like, a bow and arrow.
Dan was just in my ear. What didn't this just happen? Dan was saying?
Happened on the Mass Pike about 2 weeks ago. It was a gentleman in his 60s.
He not with a bow and arrow.
No, this is a bow and arrow.
Ended up on the hood of someone's car.
Oh, yeah, that's
with his fingers clinging to the hood, banging on the windshield.
He ended up
breaking the windshield. But what happened was, guys, in that situation was it went on in traffic, stop and go. The guy was trying to get him off the hood. When they finally cornered him, a third party got out of his car and pulled a gun out and walked up to the window of the driver and said, "Shut the car off and get out." And they've interviewed everybody because it just was a stupid road rage incident with a little fender bender. They're all in court now. But the guy that pulled out his gun, there was no charges. When the police did show up, they drew their weapons on him and told him to get on the ground.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, you know, no one knew what the situation was.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no one had any idea.
But again, Rich, it just goes to your, you know, either everybody has a video. They can video you doing something stupid like that, or a gun, or some kind of a weapon. Oh, so,
without a doubt. Let's go to line four. Tyler, what's up, man?
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, so I was driving home with my dad. I was probably about 10 at the time. And we got cut off by a car after he's been working for about 12 hours. He gets on the guy's on the guy's rear end and says, "You know what? I'm going to follow this guy." Starts following him. Guy jams on his brakes. So they both get out of the car. Walks towards the car, and the guy comes over to him and says, "You want to start something? We'll start something." Goes to the back into his trunk, grabs a crowbar, walks towards my dad, and smashes his car. Turns out to a brutal fist fight in the middle of the road. Both of them walk in their car and drive away.
How old are you?
26.
No. When it happened?
10 years.
What do you say to your dad at that point?
10.
I was yelling at him, "Can you just get back in the car? Can we go home?" He said, "Just lock the doors and don't get out for any reason."
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
It's like the beginning of a, it's like a bad movie where you see your dad get shot by some guy, and the whole rest of your life you're going out for revenge, and it's like, you know, turns into Batman.
Writing a big check to a therapist. Jesus.
Man. All right, 617.
It's like a good PSA. It's like a good PSA for not tailgating anyone.
But you know what? It just goes to show. Something as simple as taking that snow off your roof can prevent any kind of, like, I mean, and people act irrationally when you're an a-hole on the road. They do, but it does happen. So it's like anything I can do to just keep everyone with cooler heads and not be a complete dick and possibly cause somebody getting an ice missile to your windshield,
So there you go. There's your lesson for the day. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls after Wallach's headlines.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
985, the Sports Hub.
All right, 985 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. This is getting very strange. So we were talking about a story. Well, first of all, it all started because this weekend, I mean, I was behind a guy who had... It's one of the most aggravating things because it's just laziness or it's being a dick. One of the two is that he had like a foot and a half of snow on the top of his car. You're behind him on the highway and immediately you see it fall off. And it's like, I mean, that you're right. It turns into just like a sheet of ice and you find yourself swerving out of the way. I don't know how many people have gotten in car accidents because of it, but I mean, for a moment there, you see red. And a friend of mine was telling a story where it happened, where he swerved so bad that he almost ran off the road, and he found himself following the guy off of the road after he pulled up beside and started yelling at him, and then he had to kind of check himself once he got to the stop line and said, "What the hell am I doing? I'm a grown man. I don't need to be getting it. What, am I going to fight this guy?"
Right.
But then there are the people who just... This goes to the next level. And these are people who not only get so angry, but they end up getting confrontational outside of their car. And right. To me, that's just, I mean, in today's day and age.
Crowbars, tire irons, guns.
Why anyone would do that when everyone's got like weapons and stuff now is insane. However, there are some people who admitted that they've taken it next level, which is not a good idea. But let's go to Bob on line six. Bob, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, a couple years ago, I was driving north on 95, going like 85 miles an hour. This guy comes up behind me, riding my butt. So I kick it up to 90, and he's still just riding me hard. So naturally, what do? I just slam on the brakes, you know, try to give him a little bit of, you know, fight.
Jeez, man. Always smart and, doing 90. Yeah. Why? Okay, real quick. I've never understood that. It's like, you know what I'm going to do to piss this guy off? I'm going to put my life in danger and see if he slams into the back of me.
That'll teach him a lesson.
I mean, Bob, you seem like an all right rational guy right now as I'm speaking to you, but I've never understood that line of thinking.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And like you said, you see red, but it gets so much worse. So this guy, at that point, you know, I made my point. I move over to the other lane. This guy's following me now. I'm, like, putting my left blinker on, banking it right. He's still following me. Eventually, I'm getting ticked off, and I got one of those big, big Gatorade bottles in my car. So I unscrew it, I roll my window down, I toss it, and this thing goes directly in his sunroof.
Oh.
All I can see is this guy flailing about, and now I'm terrified. I'm gunning, and I do everything I can to get the hell out of there.
That's a one in a million shot too.
So
the Gatorade bottle in the sunroof.
At least it's not remorseful.
Does it end? Does it end there with just you nail the guy? He swerves around and you take off.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to follow me, but I was bobbing and weaving. I was at all costs. I was getting out of there.
Oh Jesus, man! Yeah, I didn't see how it ended, but there was a family of 10 that ended up dying later on that day on the highway. I don't know how that happened. Oh my God! What are people doing? What are you doing? Have you not?
I'm not sure I believe.
Have you
that.
All lost your minds?
I don't believe that he threw it in the guy's sunroof.
I thought he just threw it and like landed 90? On the windshield and blinded the guy.
I believe he threw a Gatorade bottle. He threw it in the sunroof. Kyrie can't put a ball in a still hoop. Right. This guy's throwing it in a sunroof at 90 miles an hour.
Now this is more my speed. Mark, you're on line five. What's up, Mark?
Hey guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I was pulling into a fast food restaurant through the drive-thru, and I was pulling in. There was a line. I get in. This guy in a truck starts barreling in. I'm like, what's going on? He pulls up right behind me, comes within an inch of me, starts screaming out of his window, F you, F you, F you. And I'm like, what are you doing? So I reach out my window. I just give him a thumbs up.
Hey, so you're in line at a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Why is he beeping at you? Why is he pissed off? I mean, you're obviously in line, and he realizes that because you can't go anywhere.
There were two ways to get into the line. I was in first. I was going in first. I was turning in, and he was flying into the line, literally coming to a 30-mile-an-hour stop.
Okay.
And yet, I was the one that was the one that was in the wrong because he was out of his window screaming.
Well, getting in a fist fight or getting in a road rage incident in a drive-thru seems a little more my speed. That seems like that I can actually see myself doing.
Sounds like Ricky's dad on Trailer Park Boys. Ray's just peeling in.
All right, let's go to Pep. Pep on line 4. What's up, Pep? How you doing?
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
Hey.
So this happened yesterday. I was out salting, and all of a sudden I was salting parking lots. I was out plowing salt in, and I noticed this car following me to like through one lot, then to the next lot. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I get out of my truck, and all of a sudden this guy comes out of his car. He's like, sick. I'm a big dude. I'm a convict. You know, I'm a ex-con, big dude. He gets out of his car, head red. He looked like bird's head, you know, like crazy. And he starts swearing at me, coming up to me. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, you're going to pay for a paint job in my car? You assault hit my car? I'm like, no way. I'm like, sir, I'm sorry. He comes up, he grabs my shirt. And so then he starts like slipping. And so I'm trying to hold this guy up. He falls on the ground and he's screaming at me. He's just spitting. It was the most insane. I'm shaking now just thinking about this.
So he tried to pick a fight with you, but he was like so frail that you had to hold him up while he was doing so.
Yeah, while he's spitting on me, swearing at me, because I'm thinking he's going to have a heart attack now. I end up dragging him back to his car, like through the snow. He's soaking wet, and he's still spitting there. And I'm like, sir, please, get in the car. I'm going to hurt you. And eventually, I open his car door and, like, throw him into the seat while I'm thinking he's having a heart attack. And I'm just like, man, my boss is going to fire me today when he calls.
When this guy dies, I am gone. Jeez, man. All right. Let's just end it with this because, I mean, this is now we're talking convicts. Let's go to Andy. Andy, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich. Line 6.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So I have a really funny one, actually, out of all the really psychotic ones that I've heard so far. About 2 a.m. one night, it was like a Saturday night. I was coming home from work, and I pull off the highway, and I get to this red light, and there's this car sitting there. And light turns green, and after about 30 seconds, the car hasn't gone yet. So I start honking the horn, and this guy gets out, like literally stumbles out of his car, falls out of his car, opens the door, and falls out. And I'm like, oh, great, here we go. And he gets up, and I stay in my car. I roll down the window a little bit. It doesn't even make it over to my window, and he continues to projectile vomit all over my windshield.
Oh,
and I was sitting there absolutely stunned, not knowing what to do. And I just sat there, and he got back in his car and continued to sort of drive away. I took a picture, and I called the police, obviously. But I'm sitting there with this caked-on vomit on my car, trying to use the windshield wipers. It's just smearing all over the place.
That's not getting off. The poor person who's standing near your car. When you slap on those wipers, oh, what a bunch of, oh, awful. Yes, Jan.
If you want to end it on a somewhat funny note, because the joke ended up being on me, but, you know, we come in early every day around the same time. I was getting off the highway, and it wasn't that long ago. The car in front of me at the light turned green. 1, 2, you count to about 5. And what do I do because I'm impatient? I hit the horn, nail the horn. Let's go. Light's not going to get any greener. I think I may have yelled to no one. Both go left. We come, and now the person in front of me is doing it on purpose. They're going 5 miles an hour in front of me. I've put both of my hands up, and they're like, what is going on? And I can see they're looking in the rearview mirror. We both pulled into the parking lot here at work. I think we'd be in this building probably maybe 3 or 4 weeks at the time. And it was, you know, so we both pull in. And I pulled into the spot that person normally parks in.
Oh, shit.
And the parking lot's not that big.
No,
sure.
No, it's
like,
not.
Wow, this is really, really awkward. Should I sit in the car? And I kind of just gave the wave like, yeah, that's me. That one's on me.
Do I know who that is? Do I know who the person is?
They don't work at this. They don't work at this station. They work at another station.
Oh, okay, can I guess?
No.
Off air?
Okay. I'll do it. Of course, you can guess off air. But it's just one of those moments where you're just like, you know what? I was a total jerk, and I could have.
Wasn't a jerk. The guy was in a green light, not moving.
I know, but I was the impatient one, and then I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? I've got to work on that. I shouldn't be driving.
No, you were in the right there. You did nothing wrong.
That's what you thought?
And you don't own that parking space, Mr. Guy, who doesn't go green.
When we both pulled, when the blinker went on, when the turn signal went on, and that person pulled into this parking lot, I was like,
you were like, no.
Wow, that's
all
where
right.
I work,
I'm not speaking out of school because, like, this is something I would say to those people if they were here, but as far as people who do not clear stuff off the top of their car, the Toucher and Rich show has two major offenders.
Uh-oh.
Two major offenders.
I have photo proof.
Yep. Dan has photo proof. And neither one of them, first of all, John Wallach, you're perfectly fine. The guy does it all the time, cleans it off. From everything I know, Nick does as well.
Mm-hmm.
Dan seems to be a responsible person. I've not heard any complaints. And I'll do it. However, the two people who do not are both not here today.
Oh, boy.
Like, to an extreme case. Now, Bird, I will just... Remember my whole theory where you're just being a dick and you're not really dumb about it? I think this might be the opposite of that. I'll give Bird a little bit of leeway because I just think he just walks out and his car looks like a transit. Oh, that's inexcusable, Fred right, Toucher.
So, oh, you not let it go. So Nick just brought in my phone.
Oh, look at this picture. Okay, Dan, describe what this photo we're looking at.
That is somebody's car that works here.
You know, you can name it.
Somebody's car that works here.
His name rhymes with Fred Toucher. And that photo was taken on Morrissey Boulevard out of the parking lot. And the funniest part about that photo
is... I mean, the windows are scraped.
That person didn't think that it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
No.
But this is a couple of days after the storm.
And that's also about, 10 miles away from home? So he'd been driving. So anything that was on there, like a lot of it had probably flown off by then. And that's still what's left. That's just a testament to how much was on his car. Oh, that's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Inexcusable. That'll get you a ticket. Like, that's the kind that they'll pull you over and give you a ticket for something like that.
I mean, he could see out the windows.
Yeah, that's right. And Fred said it was no big deal. I forgot about that. Once again, I'm not speaking out of school. We've talked to these guys about it before. But, I mean, we have two huge offenders of that. Huge. Inexcusable. I mean, could he even see out his rear window there?
I think he kind
of
could.
One of the funny parts about that story is we were on the second floor here of the building, and I just happened to be looking out the window into the parking lot, and I'm like, whose car is that? And that person came forward and was like, why? What's the big deal? I'm like, what? Did you just use your hand and, you know, basically just wipe off the area around the back window so you could see?
Something. Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Lopez, the 7-footer, waving his arms in front of him. Smart holding it. Bounce pass in. Kyrie's got it. Turns with a left-hand dribble in the paint. Crazy runner. No good. The ball game is over.
Wow.
Last month in Orlando, Kyrie Irving didn't get the ball in that situation and wasn't happy about it. Tonight, he gets it, but his runner bounces out, and the Bucks have survived.
A sports hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones here, and Celtics game last night, obviously a disappointing ending to what was a great fourth quarter. There was a point during, I think it was the third, where was the third or second where they couldn't buy a shot.
Neither team could.
Most of the game. Outside of the end.
It was essentially a slog. But
in the third quarter, both teams missed a whole bunch of shots in a row.
Yeah, but that fourth quarter was everything that you want a playoff series between these two teams to be. It was back and forth. And it sucked that they had the last shot and they didn't make it. But if you're going to take anything from it, and this is coming from the non-Adam Jones side, this is looking at it in a positive light, that would be that your team had the worst shooting night of the entire season. They shot 38%, and Kyrie was awful up until the end. What was he? 7 for 27 or something?
9 for 27. Now, he missed 10 of his first 11 shots, but made 8 of his last 16.
Of course. And he did it in the fourth quarter when that's when he's the best, except for, of course, the shot that would have won it last night. So they end up having the worst shooting performance the entire season, and they were 1 point away with the ball in their hands at beating the best team in basketball in their own arena. So if you want to look at it that way, then you could say, okay, great. Also, on top of that, that's a game they could have used Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward is built for games like that, for big shots. They were bad from three last night. Their three-point shots were off. Al Horford, however, is a monster against star players. Like, you saw what he did with Embiid. You know, these guys are going to, like Giannis is going to get his high 20s, 30 points. He's going to do it even if, like, you tied his arms behind his back. The guy is just that good. Embiid's a great player, too. But what he's able to do as far as getting the ball, rebounding. I think he had 17 rebounds last night.
Season high for a Celtic.
Do you know how difficult that is when you've got a dude like Giannis Antetokounmpo just standing right next to you to be able to pull down 17 boards, especially when you see what Giannis can do just by using his ass? Like last night when he was underneath the basket, literally underneath the rim.
Oh, just backing people out.
And just knocking, he knocked Kyrie Irving out of the way and was able to get the and-one. I mean, that part of it is impressive. Here's the only problem with all this. Bad teams, good teams, whatever. You got to get some wins because this end of the season run is tough.
Well, they're not catching Milwaukee now after that. And I don't think they probably were even prior to that. But you had to beat Milwaukee head to head. You got to beat Toronto head to head if you want a chance to catch them. They can pretty much kiss the one seed goodbye. They probably weren't going to get there.
Well, two seed too. I mean, I heard Grandy at the end of the night last night go over the numbers. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, Jones, but if Milwaukee and Toronto just played 500 basketball, Celtics need to finish like 18-6.
No, correct. They basically
top two
can only
seeds are, top two seeds are pretty much gone at this point.
So my 63 wins is out the window. Is what
yeah,
I'm saying.
I'm thinking you're probably looking in the low 50s at this point, Rich. Yes.
Is it mathematically? I think you're mathematically alive.
Am I at this point?
What did you say, 63?
I said at the beginning of the season, I said 63. Oh, no,
37 and 23, right? Something like that.
I'm out.
22 losses, you're out.
Yeah, they can't do it. But I also agree with you, Adam, and that is that whereas the Milwaukee Bucks definitely are a strong team, I think that a seven-game series goes the Celtics' way.
So, yeah, I feel that way, and I felt that way before that game last night. Like, I'm not doing the thing where it's just, oh, well, I'm not that impressed with the Bucks. I mean, while the Celtics didn't play great last night, I don't think Milwaukee played great. They shot 42%. I think the Celtics did a decent job on Giannis. They did a really good job on everyone else. And I know it's crazy to say they did a decent job on Giannis when he gets his 30-11 or whatever it was, but I agree. He's going to get his, right? I think they did a good job on everybody else. And Milwaukee, you know, won the game. There was a lot working against the Celtics on the road, no Hayward, et cetera. They played poorly. I'm just not a big believer in that Bucks team because after Giannis, there's no one that scares me. Like, Middleton hit a huge shot last night. He did not play well. He was an all-star this year. I don't think he's had a great year. They have a lot of guys who spread the floor around Giannis. None of them scare me. I'd let Bledsoe shoot. I'd let Brogdon shoot. I'd let Brooke Lopez shoot all day long. George Hill. Like, I just don't think the Bucks' talent is that good after Giannis. That's why I think the real threat to the Celtics, and still the only team, as much as I will dump on the Celtics or pick at the Celtics, the only team I would pick over them head-to-head, this was true yesterday, this is still true today, is Toronto. That's the only team I'd pick over Boston.
Well, Toronto's the only one that I'd be scared. Like, I mean, the Bucks are going to be tough. That's a 6-7 game series. I still think the Celtics will have the edge.
I agree with you about everything but Brogdon. Brogdon's a Celtics killer. It looks weird coming out of his hands.
His shot's gross.
I know, but
you're right. His history.
He shoots well. He's a good player. Was he rookie of the year or runner up for rookie of the year?
It was like the worst rookie class ever.
I understand that, but Brogdon is a good player. Don't discount him. But anyway, all the other stuff you said is absolutely true. I would like the Celtics over Milwaukee in the series.
And don't even talk to me about the Sixers. The Sixers, I've written them off.
It's Toronto, and they play in Toronto next week.
I gave them a chance. I gave them a chance until, with all their new additions, they still lost to the Celtics in Philly.
Yep.
Without Kyrie. And I'm like, okay, I will now go back to writing off Philly.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org. Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island
Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.